sorry. Did we say that I'm doing this one?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Just,
I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy
here.
Councilmember Oglesby.
She's absent, so we'll
have... Oh, I'm sorry, she's excused.
Councilmember Edelman.
Here.
Councilmember Stout.
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
And Councilmember Wisnowski has been excused. So can we have a motion for the agenda?
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a presentation by Enumclaw School District on school impact fees, Mike Nelson and Denise Stiffarm.
Great. Madam Mayor and members of the council, thank you so much.
Is this microphone on?
I can.
Okay.
Just maybe tip it up.
Oh, there it goes.
Well, we just sure appreciate an opportunity to have a conversation with you about school impact fees. I am joined by Denise Stiffarm. Denise and I often laugh because we seem to be the consistent ones that have been here since the beginning of growth and development here in Black Diamond, with initial meetings with Yarrow Bay dating back to, at least for me, August of 2006, and we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. Also in our audience is Vice President of our Board of Directors, Tina McGann. We'd like to make mention of her. We just really appreciate the partnership that we have with Black Diamond, and in particular Black Diamond City Council, for many different events that we take part of, and supporting the students and staff of our school district, in particular at Black Diamond Elementary. I had it. It was working.
Point at her, maybe?
There
it
is.
Oh.
So our purpose tonight is to share insights with you about our request for the Black Diamond City Council to adopt school impact fees. And this request actually has been presented to you in a letter following our capital facilities plan updates, which we do each July and then send forward to for you as a council. And as I said, the request has come for several years, and we have made presentations to various councils, depending, and some of you may have remembered Denise and I coming to talk about the importance of school impact fees. And so our hope is that tonight we'll be able to, for those of you that school impact fees is a new topic, we'll be able to explain process for them, explain next steps if you're interested in moving forward to that, with that, which we hope you are, and then how we can actually move forward with the process and what we do as a school district and what we would give to you, and then to move forward into action. So first of all, we're just going to go ahead and move into the next slide, which really describes the legal a part of school impact fees.
So just to set this up, you in your code currently, you do have provisions for impact fees, and I believe they're primarily for fire facilities. And so you have some familiarity with them, but just in general, the impact fee statute came about as a part of the Growth Management Act back in 1990, and the provisions that govern impact fees, and these are all impact fees, schools, parks, fire, roads, are contained in RCW 8202, 050 through 110, essentially. And for school impact fees, the charge is only assessed on residential development, and that's because of the requirement that impact fees must be proportional to the impact of the new development. And for schools, the impact is are the new students that are generated from new homes when they are built. So a little bit different from traffic impact fees or fire impact fees, where they're assessed both on commercial development and residential development. So these are just residential development units. They can't be used to address existing deficiencies within the school system. So if there is an existing capacity need, that is a non-impact fee funded improvement. And they also can't be the only source of funding for the new capacity needed to serve new growth. So they have to be combined with other funding, and that's often a combination of local funding through a bond and state match dollars to the extent they are available. So those are the broad parameters that govern impact fees, and I think that drilling down from a high-level overview to just think about that impact is how the district does that is they measure an actual student generation rate. So they look at both single-family dwelling units and multifamily dwelling units separately and look on average from new development units recently constructed how many students are actually coming out of those units, enrolling in the school system, and then using that as a measure for that proportionate share. So not all school districts are able to charge, are able to request school impact fees. They need to demonstrate eligibility for that purpose. And so each year, the school district creates and updates a capital facilities plan document, somewhat similar to what you all do with your city, and you have a capital facilities element. The district reviews all of its facilities, identifies how much capacity it has in its existing schools, and then they compare that with the projected enrollment in their schools over the next six-year planning period. And to the extent they identify that new growth from projected enrollment will need a new seat, in other words, there's not enough of an existing seat, or not enough existing seats, that's their first prong of eligibility. With that prong, they're able to demonstrate that they do have a need for new capacity to serve growth. Then they need to demonstrate a second prong for eligibility, and that second prong is that they have a plan for addressing the capacity need. So somewhere in that six-year planning horizon, they need to demonstrate that they have a plan to move forward with capacity at the grade level where it's needed. And when they demonstrate those two prongs, that becomes the basis for their school impact fees, and they demonstrate eligibility. The one thing that is also important to remember is that sometimes school districts are able to plan in advance for capacity needs, and I'm just going to pause while well, there's a loud vehicle outside. And so sometimes you will see in a capital facilities plan, and indeed that's what you'll see in this district's capital facilities plan, that they've actually already built capacity. It's still available to serve students from new growth. And I think if you look across the street at Black Diamond Elementary, that's an example of where that occurs. Under the state law, school districts themselves cannot charge impact fees. They have to look to their jurisdictions for that purpose. The authority rests with cities and counties to charge impact fees of all kinds. So that's why the district comes to the city of Enumclaw, the city of Black Diamond, and King County with the request. In order to properly collect impact fees, the local jurisdiction needs to do two things. It needs to first adopt the district's capital facilities plan by reference as a part of the city's or the county's capital facilities element of your comprehensive plan. And then the second thing is to have an actual school impact fee ordinance adopted in your code. So those are the two things that if we move forward, we would be requesting that the city consider. It should be noted that before the capital facilities plan is adopted each year, the district's board of directors goes through a public process of reviewing that plan, taking input. It's reviewed under the State Environmental Policy Act, so there's a comment period under there as well. And then second, King County has what's called a School Technical Review Committee. And this is a body that was established when King County, who was the first jurisdiction in the state to adopt a school impact fee ordinance in 1991, they established this review committee that is staffed by county finance, planning, and council employees who review each of the school district's capital facilities plan and really do a technical review to ensure that those plans are compliant with the statute and with the code provisions to determine eligibility. So there's quite a review process that the district goes through every year in terms of updating this plan.
The next slide just shows, we were trying to outthink some of the questions that you might have as a city council. It's like, okay, well, does the city of Enumclaw have a school impact fee ordinance, and does King County? So our jurisdictions consist of King County, City of Enumclaw, and City of Black Diamond. And both King County has had one. The City of Enumclaw was a few years ago. And I have been in correspondence with the mayor about that when that one passed recently as growth started to really emerge in our school district. And as you can see, not yet the city of Black Diamond, but love the phrase, not yet. Just want to put this slide up to make sure that our public knows that shouldn't be a confusion between what we're asking as school impact fees ordinance and the master plan development. So the master plan development has its own set of own comprehensive agreement. And that actually, the beginning of that occurred as early as with Denise and I back in August of 2006 was the very first meeting. I was still assistant superintendent. I became superintendent in January of 2007 when we had the first meeting that I attended with then Yarrow Bay around that. Really with the purpose of taking care of our school district with all of the growth that was going to occur as a result of that master plan development. Our board of directors set a really high level of values that they wanted way back then, even though, and expecting it probably the timeline to be sooner than where we are at now in 2019, thinking back to 2006 and 7, but set a strong value of what they wanted within that agreement. So it's a combination of land and mitigation and monies that flow back and forth that really take care of this school district for, we believe, on the Black Diamond side of our district in terms of land and school sites for the next 15 to 20 years. And that was really important to our board of directors because that is what, in their research, found that other school districts really needed the land in order to build the schools. That was a huge commodity by the time you needed those schools. So to get that up front. And that agreement was signed by and agreed upon by the school district board of directors, Yarrow Bay, and the city of Black Diamond in January of 2011. And currently there is some building occurring and that collection process has started.
So just to further clarify that point, the mitigation fees that are collected under the Comprehensive School Mitigation Agreement are not Growth Management Act school impact fees. They are SEPA mitigation fees and they're a part of that entire SEPA mitigation package that is within that document. So regardless of whether or not the City of Black Diamond decides to move forward with Growth Management Act school impact fees, that mitigation will stay in place. They'll continue to pay those mitigation fees into the future. And so the ordinance that one would adopt for school impact fees would apply to any other residential development that may occur within the city. So anything outside of the two MPDs would be what would be subject to the school impact fee ordinance. And so going forward from this point on, the school mitigation agreement for the Oak Point MPDs would continue to charge, and you'll see that the minimum fee that will always be collected will be $7,783 per single family unit and $2,502 per multifamily unit. But when we drafted that agreement, we wanted to make sure that there was some way to float those dollars up should the district's capital facilities plan start generating a higher school impact fee and should the City of Black Diamond adopt a school impact fee ordinance, because we wanted to make sure that the MPD units were going to be paying similar to what anyone else would be paying. So the provision that we have in there is that there is the ability to increase those fees for the MPD units should the City of Black Diamond have a school impact fee ordinance and should the district's school impact fee as calculated float up to those units, or excuse me, to those amounts. And the highest amount, which is at a ceiling, for single family units would be $12,453, and then for multifamily units, $4,003. The intent of that, of course, is, again, to ensure that there's the ability to move those values up. So, but again, I just want to emphasize that in no case ever will the MPD units pay less than that floor that is currently set, and in no case would they be relieved of paying if the city never adopted a school impact fee ordinance. So that's set in stone. The purpose of, again, of just thinking about other dwelling units within the city is to make sure that all units that are built within Black Diamond that do have an impact on school facilities would be paying towards the capacity needed to serve those new dwelling units.
So I had the chance to talk with your city staff about units that have been built in the last 3 years. So calendar year 2017, calendar year 2018, and then 2019 as of March 5th when I heard from Black Diamond City staff. So during that time frame, for residential building permits, there were 7, 10, and 4. And if you equate that to the impact fee amounts, if an impact fee ordinance was in place, you can see what that would generate for the school district to, in order to take care of the students that represent, that are generated as a result of those building permits, and what that total amount is. So just having that piece of information, I thought would be important for you to have as well. And important for our school district. Black Diamond, the city of Black Diamond, with your annexation and different parts, the yellow part, we feel like we're the heart of your city. And so the yellow represents our school district. Knowing that you have several school districts within the city of Black Diamond, Tahoma, Canton, Auburn, as well as Eden Plow, but we like to say that we're the heart of your city, and that yellow represents the heart. Adopting an impact fee ordinance wouldn't just be beneficial for the Eden Plow school district, even though we're the ones here presenting. This would carry over to those other three districts as well, if there was houses, applications being permitted in those areas of your city.
So just a kind of a summary of where the district is at currently with their school impact fees and their capital facilities plan. Again, this document is provided to the city every fall once the board adopts. And so in 2018, the district demonstrated capacity needs related to growth at both the elementary school and the high school. And those, in fact, are where the district's two capacity projects, construction projects, are one just recently completed and two close to being completed. And so those two projects are eligible for school impact fees to serve growth, and then they are also included in the impact fee formula. Using those projects and the proportionate share, and I didn't do a slide for the formula because that's a really deep dive, and we can do that at another time, but I wanted to keep it high level. But using those two projects and the various components, the district's fee as calculated, and I want to demonstrate this is as calculated, so no discount at all, is $12,441 for single-family dwelling units and $4,093 for multifamily dwelling units. Now, both King County and the City of Enumclaw apply what's called a local share discount, and that discount currently is 50%. So that $12,441 figure is essentially cut in half. Same thing with the $4,093. So that's the amount that the City of Enumclaw and King County will charge for each new dwelling unit as it comes through the permitting process. The district is right now starting to do its 2019 capital facilities plan update. And so probably around June, there will be a draft circulated, and shortly thereafter, July, August, the board will start its process for consideration and adoption. And then, of course, that will be forwarded to the city. The city also gets notice of the district's SEPA determination, so has an early chance to take a look and provide any comments.
So the process would be then we would send it to them. They would, in the fall, if so inclined, put it on the agenda for adoption, take place beginning January 2020.
Correct.
So you're saying that we would get that 50% discount? The same one, 6,002.
You decide that. That's,
oh, okay.
Yes. That's not our decision.
Okay, so it's our decision.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, it is up to the local jurisdiction to decide what
that number is going to be.
Whether or not they want to apply.
Right. But you calculated the ones from this year at the 6,221. Okay.
Mayor?
Councilmember Edelman?
I got a couple of questions. First of all, thank you for coming and presenting tonight. This is really informative. It's unfortunate we've got two members that are out sick. But on your one chart here that is entitled the non-MPD building permits, and you talk about, I mean, the totals for 2017, 18, and 19.
Sorry, somehow we lost our connection. But we can go.
Well, I'm just going to talk numbers. So, okay, so you're saying for those 3 years, as of March of 2019, that it was $115,492. I guess this is non-MPD. So the check that we wrote to you that we're going to approve tonight for $264,622 is outside of this. Is that correct?
That's probably tied to the master plan development mitigation.
Because we just wrote, we're writing you guys really big checks right now. So, okay.
I'm certain that those are related to the master plan developments.
Okay. Then go ahead.
Do you want to explain how those checks really, it's not checks that we use that money.
It's not checks that you use that.
So under the comprehensive school mitigation agreement, the developer has the ability to either receive credits for the value of the land it conveys or pay mitigation fees. Mm-hmm. And those mitigation fees, when they pay them, and what's been happening is that the builders have been paying the mitigation fees at this point versus using credits. And those credits go into a bank, and under the framework of the mitigation agreement, they are banked for a certain amount of time until all of the sites are conveyed at the end of the agreement. And then to the extent there are dollars still sitting in that bank at the end of the 20-year agreement timeline, they are able to be used for school facilities. So that's a very simplified explanation.
Okay, so it's an accounting thing. We'll write you a check, but then they have a credit that comes against that. Is that what you're saying? And then at some point, it'll go down to zero.
Exactly. It could go down to zero, or there could be dollars
sitting
in that bank.
Okay, but then do we have to wait until the end of the development agreement for that money to be used? Because what happens now, you've already, I think, the first grade school up in the MPD in Ten Trails has been conveyed to the school district, right?
It has not yet been conveyed, but
will
be conveyed soon. As a result of timing. And that was, the district was aware of that and actually asked for, we wanted the plat to be finished
before
they conveyed.
Okay,
so
that should have happened like 2 years ago.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, I guess that's fine. At that point, when you have the property conveyed to you, you have enough population that Black Diamond Elementary is now not maxed out but close because they have to pay attention to the Lawson Hill kids. Would the district float a bond issue then for building the second elementary school? Is that how that will work?
Yes, as Ms. Stiffarm shared, it would be a combination of school impact fees that you have will hopefully adopt in fall, local dollars, which usually is in the form of a bond unless you're in Seattle and you can run a levy.
All right, we're Black Diamond.
And any possibility for state matching funds.
And hope that the state does the right thing next time. That was just because you guys really got taken with that last business with the state, and it affected the high school. That was bad. The other thing that I don't understand, it's a nitpicky thing, but the numbers don't match. I gotta find my page. You've got some fees that are calculating at $12,441. Dollars. That's the current ESD. Oh, that's current ESD. And then under the MPD residential units, on the few pages later, it says 12,453.
So those are two different numbers, keep in mind. So
yeah.
On the MPD page, those are the amounts that are fixed in the agreement. So
okay.
There is a floor and a ceiling of fixed numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens, this wasn't planned, that the district's current school impact fee is calculating at that high number. If we look at
okay.
it as no discount, it is right at that level.
Okay. Now, the advantage of having the discount is that the new property owners will pay less impact fees to start with.
Correct.
But at some point, the school district, be it Black Diamond Residents, King County, and Enumclaw, are going to have to come up with the rest of that money then. And I mean, that's going to happen whether it's Enumclaw, us, or King County, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I just want to touch on that one a little bit more because it's a common misperception I've found in different communities that when school impact fees are paid, folks like to think that that's going to fund the new capacity in total. And the reality is, one, legally it cannot. The state law just doesn't allow it. But the other reality is that impact fees actually end up being a very small percentage of a large capital project. So they do offset and help with that cost, but they're not a total remedy.
Well, I remember during the MPD period where impact fees were discussed, and one of the fellows that actually sat in my chair for a year sat down and figured out the total cost, figuring just grossly the cost of building schools and what the impact fees would be for 6,000 units, and it wasn't $12,000.
No.
So, okay, great. Thank you.
And may I just add, there's different entities that make decisions. And so the board's recommendation is to give less of a discount
mm-hmm.
because they're representing what you just talked mm-hmm. about in terms of the voters needing to go out and pass a bond to support the schools. So when our board of directors actually makes the recommendation, they'll probably recommend less of a discount than the 50%. As Mrs. Stiffarm said, it oftentimes is at the 50% discount level that jurisdictions.
But you're basically deferring those costs to a bond issue later. And yeah.
Councilmember Stout.
I guess I don't understand the 50% discount or the purpose of it, especially when the discounted number is less than the MPD mitigation fees that are charged. So we now are seeing over, just under $8,000 per unit that comes to the school district. I know that last year just a smidgen under $1 million went into that account. So why the lower number?
So the discount for school impact fees has a long history. When King County adopted their school impact fee ordinance, again back in 1991, first jurisdiction in the state to do so, they did it through, they developed their ordinance with a stakeholder process. The stakeholder group included county officials, school district representatives, representatives from groups like FutureWise, and then representatives of the development community. And the King County 50% discount really was a compromise to get that ordinance in place and up and running. It has, that 50% figure has stuck. People are comfortable with it generally. And as a result, as every other city in King County started to think about a school impact fee ordinance, they simply replicated what King County did. Now, that in itself has not stuck. There have been a couple of cities, most recently the city of Carnation and the city of Duval, who decided they only wanted to do a 25% discount. So for the Riverview School District, they are doing something different than what King County's doing. If you look around the state to other jurisdictions that are charging school impact fees, you'll see a variety of discounts, anywhere from 10% all the way up to 90%. Pierce County has a cap on their school impact fees for all of their school districts, so they are very low in terms of what the districts are actually calculating. So when we say it's jurisdiction specific, it really is a policy decision for each jurisdiction to make in terms of what they think is best for their community. But you're absolutely right. It does result, if you have used that 50% figure, it does result in a significantly lower number than the actual the cost of the impact.
But again, that's not the school district's decision. That's your decision as a council. We're happy to.
But the reason you're here.
Different amount. Our board will recommend a 25% discount, as they did to Enumclaw, and we don't have a choice to present to King County. Then the jurisdiction decides and votes on the matter whether that discount is. So you, as a city of Alcona, could choose something different.
So you could choose something higher or lower. You don't have to choose 25 or 50%. You could choose 60% discount if you wanted to.
And I just wanted to add this one point just so that it's not lost. I work with school districts doing their capital facilities plans and school impact fees kind of up and down and around the state. And because the school impact fee formula uses averages, which is entirely permissible under the law, but you're using an average student generation rate, you're calculating a tax credit with an average assessed value. Because of that, I always recommend that there be at least a 5 to 10% discount because you want to account for those variations and not be vulnerable to a fee challenge. So, but beyond that, that 5 to 10% cushion, it really is up to the jurisdiction.
Well, my concern is creating an us and them situation where people inside the MPDs are paying one amount and people outside of the MPDs are paying another amount. And Black Diamond is a cohesive community, and we want it to remain like that. We don't want there to be a disparity. So I guess that's up to our attorneys and our staff and ultimately the council to figure out how to make that work so that it's not, you know, unfair to anybody.
Mayor. Councilmember Deedy.
So I'm trying to understand the whole impact fee. So did the school impact fee come about because some bonds weren't getting passed or stuff weren't getting passed, so the state then thought we could do this and help with growth and help pay for schools if the residents in those cities aren't passing bonds? But that's not the case. You're both shaking your head no. So then if that's not the case, then the schools got together with legislators then and said if we got impact fees that would help us get money in an account to build new schools, but in return we could also go out for bonds and tell the residents we have so much money from impact fees, but we need to go out for a bond for this much money to cover whatever school is being built. Am I close or not close? Or
you're touching on some things, but how it really came about, and I think it might be helpful to take the school out of the phrase for the moment and just think of impact fees. And just think that, of course, impact fees, jurisdictions have the authority to charge fire, transportation, park, and school impact fees. And so how impact fees came about was when the state legislature in 1990 adopted the Growth Management Act. The stated intent behind that act was to manage growth, but also to ensure that growth pays for growth. And so they wanted to have a mechanism where the existing community was not going to pay the full costs of new capital facilities needed to serve new growth. At the same time, they recognized, well, we can't, this is them, not me, we can't make new growth pay for everything. It's got to be a shared, there's got to be a three-legged stool, basically state, local, and developer input into this. And so that's how they designed that school impact fee legislation, or excuse me, the impact fee legislation to provide that new development pays a proportionate share of its impact, not the full share, but a reasonable amount to be able to demonstrate to the existing community that they are not bearing the full cost of growth. So that is how the impact fee statute came about, and school impact fees are just one component of that. So because of that, You're always going to need that other funding. So you're always going to need that school bond. And when there are instances where you don't have a school bond, impact fees really can't be used for anything much more than portables, and there's only a certain amount that can be used towards portables. So it's in isolation, they're not an effective tool, but when they're part of the whole equation, they are.
So you would collect impact fees, and you can't touch it until you're building a new school somewhere within the district. In the meantime, that money sits in an account that grows interest or whatever, and then as time goes and population grows, then you collect that. So so I'm just trying to think, what happens when you reach your max growth? You can't grow anymore, but you still collect those fees.
If a district were to get to that point, they would lose their eligibility to collect fees. So in other words, they wouldn't be able to demonstrate the two prongs, one that they have a capacity need related to growth. So they would look at their existing facilities, and they would look at their enrollment projections, and they would say, well, we're not growing anymore. We have available capacity at our high school, at our elementary, and so we're not even eligible to ask for school impact fees. And we don't, and, you know, even if we did, we wouldn't meet the second prong because we won't have anything planned. One thing I wanted to make sure that I thought about that we didn't clarify when going through this presentation is, but when you mentioned that you have these fees accruing in your account and they could sit there, under state law, impact fees must be used within 10 years of the date of collection. So they are time limited. And if they're not used within that time, they're refunded to the current property owner of record.
Okay, now, so that was my next question.
Okay.
So what happens if you've reached that point and then you got all this money sitting there? What happens to it?
Right.
Okay, so one other thing, I agree with Erin. So it did look like in the MPDs you have a certain amount locked in. And then you come out here outside of the MPDs, and residents that are building a home are paying more than what's being built in Ten Trails.
Or less.
No, it's the opposite.
Is it opposite?
They're paying more in Ten Trails.
Currently, they're paying nothing.
Okay, so it would...
We're not paying anything.
But
if we got a 50% discount, we would be paying less. If we got less of a discount, we could... You could calculate it to be the same amount.
So definitely I'd want to look at that to make sure that it's fair across the board being paid. Definitely.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I just want to make one other comment, too. There's a lot of us on the council and the mayor that participate in regional meetings, and we've been having some transportation meetings, and we've been... You know, it's Maple Valley, Covington, Black Diamond, Issaquah, Snoqualmie. The mayor of Issaquah has been just in a tizzy because they have all of this development, and they were not smart enough to put in the development agreements to set aside property for schools. And they are screaming right now because they need schools, and there's no property. And so... as much as you all know, I fought a lot of that, the development back in the early days. That was very forward thinking to get the developer to set aside that property. So that was a good deal. Thank you.
Thank you. I will say I work with the Issaquah School District, and absolutely the value of having land, especially, it was important back then, but... in today's market, it is all the more important.
So. We were shocked when we found out they had made, especially, I mean, I lived in Issaquah 30 years ago, or outside of Issaquah, and to know that they had not made any provisions when you see, I mean, Klahani was brand new back in those days, but all of the plateau stuff, Talus, and there's nothing. Yeah, so it's, they're paying the price now.
I think your comment is really kind. So thank you very
well,
much. That's
you know,
really a kind thing to say, honestly, because it was that was a difficult time for all of us as we were working with the concept of growth, and it's scary and emotional, and our board of directors really tried to dig deep it down in their soul of what is it that would be the most meaningful thing. And the phrase that we kept using, and not that you asked for this information,
but that's, go ahead.
Is, There could have been a deal struck that would have made that board at that time look good for maybe a school. Mm-hmm. But they really wanted to think through long-term of 20 years when Denise was an attorney, although you may still be the attorney. And I'm not the superintendent. I may still be the superintendent. Regina may not be on the board. She still may be on the board. But well beyond our tenure. Sure. And that was one of the most selfless leadership acts I've ever witnessed. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you acknowledging that from 11, 12 years ago that board of directors.
You know, so I've been on the council now for 7 years, multiple different folks on the council. And I think this council and the one from many years ago, we've always had the attitude of we need to do the right thing, mm-hmm. not do whatever's the cheapest or most expeditious to get done, but to move our city forward in the future. Same idea. And that's kind of where we're all coming from still. So, I think that's our job. You know, we can look at next month or next year, but we need to be looking at long term.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was very informative.
Yeah.
Good presentation. Thank you.
And we're looking forward to our next meeting with the joint meeting with the board, too. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So I, do we have, so our next item is the confirmation of my appointment for Dorothy Botts to the position number 2 of the Civil Service Commission. Does anybody have any discussion of that?
No,
because nobody else applied. I move that we confirm the mayor's reappointment of Dorothy Botts to the position number 2 of the Civil Service Commission.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Third.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So this is time for public comments. Those wishing to get up and speak to council, please step up to the podium and state your name and your city residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to address council? Carolyn?
Carolyn Hart, Black Diamond. And I see that we are going to have a recycling event on Saturday, May 4th. And the first Saturday in May is also the plant sale for the Black Diamond, Friends of Black Diamond Library. And we're going to have it in Barry Combo's parking lot. And parking, what's wrong with this? Parking
okay.
will be
it's okay.
in front of the community center.
Okay.
And so come and get some plants. Oh, and we are also looking for plants to sell. So if you've got stuff that you don't need anymore, you dig up stuff in your yard and it's overgrown and stuff, bring it to the library.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no further business, so we'll go on to department reports. Chief Smith?
I have no report.
Thank you.
Bring a written report to the next meeting.
Okay. You're forgiven.
Well, the only thing I can say is, we're working on the mock DUI thing at the high school.
Oh, yeah.
That will be coming up before graduation. So I'll give you a full report next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. So, Mayor's report. On Tuesday, I attended the South End Mayor's meeting in Auburn, and we discussed the impacts of the Tim Iman initiative. And we had a walk through the park with Leah Grant in preparation for our Wednesday dedication ceremony. And we had an ad hoc fire committee meeting. And then on Wednesday, I did my State of the City presentation at the Chamber Luncheon. And then at 2 o'clock, we had the ribbon cutting at Lake Story Regional Park with Reagan Dunn for the new and signs that we have in the park. And it was very well attended, very well attended. Mm-hmm. So, Councilmember Edelman.
Okay. On the 9th, I attended the Finance Committee meeting for Tammy. She was busy. On the 10th, I went to the Public Issues Committee meeting. We had no votes, so it was just all discussion and just heads up on things going regionally. The 12th, I attended the powwow for a while at the high school. And if you have not been, that is just really one of the coolest things to go see. We've got our local folks here that are native, and they're very active in their communities. And you see 70, 80-year-old people, and you see two-year-olds out there. There was one, well, and Mike, you saw him. There was one little kid. He couldn't have been more than 4 or 5, and he had an outfit that matched his dad with the big headdress and all of the feathers, and they all dance. I mean, you get these little kids out there, and they're trying real hard to do the dance. But it's, I've been there twice now. It's just really a lot of fun to see. Yesterday I went to the chamber luncheon and listened to the mayor's speech. She did a great job. And then the ribbon cutting at the park. And we did have a really good turnout. Reagan Dunn was here to help us with the ribbon cutting. And then I also went to the Fire Ad Hoc Committee for Chris because he was sick. So that was kind of fun because I haven't been since we have this council. I don't get to go to all the meetings anymore like I used to. And the fire truck is moving on. You know, we're going to get a new truck one of these years. And other than that, I think that's it.
Councilmember Shout.
I have not been to any meetings since our last meeting. Our public works meeting got canceled. And then I went out of town for some fun, which was really greatly needed over spring break. And I felt like I wasn't doing anything, so I pulled out my mayor and council member handbook and started reading through that again. And there were a few things that I said to myself, wait a minute, we're supposed to be doing some things. So that was a good little refresher for me. I did listen to the work study that happened last Thursday that I was not able to attend. And I just would like to invite all of us to be more diligent in handing around the microphones, because actually it was really hard to hear some people. Councilmember Didi had a lot to say, and I couldn't hear most of it. So we need to be more careful about moving those mics around so that, you know, not just us council members, but our citizens listen to those meetings sometimes, and it's important to have things to say. So just a little reminder to ourselves.
Councilmember Didi.
So I attended the finance meeting, and the public works was canceled. And then I attended the Easter lunch today for the community center. I did attend the ribbon cutting at the Lakeshore Regional Park. I did not attend the ad hoc meeting. Janie was nice enough to attend for me. I missed the State of the City Union address. I wish I had gone. But,
well, we'll be doing it during a council meeting probably in June after we do the Tri-Cities meeting.
Yeah. So the reason I missed the ad hoc meeting and the luncheon, I had my first granddaughter was born, so that was exciting. And then I just wanted to say Public Works has finally got that fence up, or at least it's going up, and it looks great. So that's a great asset to the city, I think. Out there having a fence around there. It protects the kiddos that are playing out there. It protects all our equipment. So it looks great. And I think that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. We have no attorney's report, unless you wanted to make an attorney's report. Okay. So we're at our second public comments. If you wish to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no executive session.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Less than an hour.